We open with hymn number 12. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Worship him, all ye his angels. Zion heard and was glad. The daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad thereof.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who in thy divine wisdom and fatherly goodness makest thy children to bear the cross, and sendest diverse afflictions upon us to subdue the flesh, and quicken our hearts unto faith, hope, and unceasing prayer, we beseech thee to have mercy upon us, and graciously deliver us out of our trials and afflictions, so that we may perceive thy grace and fatherly help, and with all saints forever praise and worship thee, through thy dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson is found in the 14th chapter of Exodus, the 21st through the 31st verse. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. And he made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued, and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels, so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 13th chapter of Romans, the 8th through the 10th verse. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Here ends the epistle lesson. The heathen shall fear the name of the Lord and all the kings of the earth, thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel is found in the 8th chapter of Matthew, the 23rd through the 27th verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now, when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing hymn 267.
Thank you.
Grace be unto you and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 8th chapter of Matthew, the 23rd through the 27th verse. Now when he had gotten into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose, and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, what are you afraid of? I can think of any number of things, as for myself, right away. Perhaps you share some of them with me. I am afraid of tyranny, of a bad economy, of faithlessness by friends and family members, of some accident or disease, of getting into an accident myself, of losing my job or my house or my loved ones. But there are greater fears that lie beyond these things. I am afraid of myself becoming unfaithful, of God turning against me because of my sin, of losing the hope of eternal life, or of leading others astray by bad example or by false teaching. I know that I should not be afraid of any of these things, but I am, because I am a sinner, and my natural man does not believe God's promises. And in fact, he cannot, no matter how faithful God shows himself to be, no matter how many clear and certain proofs the scriptures or even experience and sound reason present. Perhaps you have this same problem, or should I say this same sin, for it is indeed a sin to fear circumstances or men or even yourself. Is there no reason then to be afraid? Oh, there are plenty of reasons to be afraid. If you were sitting upon that boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee and had the waves crashing down and the water filling the hull faster than you could bail it, and the storm lashing the sails so hard that you could no longer control your direction, you would certainly find plenty of reason to be afraid. But you do not need to be in a boat to find similar reasons in your own life. All you have to do is turn on the evening news, or think about your loved ones, or consider your own sins and failures. Who would be so foolish as to say that there are not countless reasons to be afraid? But for all the countless reasons to fear, there is one reason we have that should silence them all and make all of them trifling matters hardly worthy of our attention. And it is this: that Jesus is with us. We have Jesus traveling right with us, right there in the middle of the storm. Right there in our boat or car or home or job or family. We have Jesus there because we have his word. And we are washed in the better waters of baptism, and we are furnished with the food of his body and blood, and he and his Father and his Spirit dwell within us and never leave or forsake us. But the disciples also had Jesus in the boat. And yet they were terrified. Why? Why are you so afraid? Is it perhaps because you believe that Jesus is asleep and that he does not hear you in your distress, that he is callous or unaware of your suffering? Is it because you do not believe his word of promise, or you doubt that he is indeed with you always, just as he said? Perhaps you think that Jesus really does not have the power to save you, that he cannot make good on what he says he will do. Maybe it is because you think that Jesus wants you to suffer and he has no intention of helping you, and he enjoys watching you in your pain and trouble. Or maybe it is because your conscience is pricked You are remembering the sins that you committed today or yesterday, last week or even years ago. That lustful look or adulterous act, those spiteful words you said, the anger that inflamed your heart, the greed you feel for more and more stuff that you do not need, the lack of love that you showed for those in need, the failure to obey your parents or to discipline and care for your children. These and many other sins you maybe reason with yourself prove to you that you are not worth the attention of Jesus. You do not deserve his help. You deserve to sink in the boat. After all, Jesus is asleep, isn't he? He seems to be blissfully unaware of the troubles of the disciples. You also cannot see him, and you could easily imagine that he does not know you or your trouble at all. That you are there literally about to drown, and yet he slumbers on. But stop to ask yourself, why is Jesus sleeping in the boat? It is being tossed about so much that Matthew, verse 24 of our text, literally calls it an earthquake on the sea. The waves are high, the waters are falling into the boat, and yet Jesus, by this time surely wet and shaken, calmly sleeps. And why? It is because there was absolutely nothing to fear, even though it seems the boat was ready to sink. Jesus is true to his own words. How fearful you all are, O you of little faith. And with but a word, Jesus calms the storm. The wind and the sea obey the voice of their Creator. And that same water, which once was threatening to overwhelm them, carries them calmly to their destination. Does Jesus admonish the disciples because he woke them? Is he annoyed because they bothered him? By no means. They were right to call upon him for help. He says they had faith, though it was a little faith. It was faith indeed that caused these seasoned fishermen, sailors, every one of them, to turn to Jesus, who was no sailor, and ask for his help. It would be a foolish request to call upon Jesus if he were just any teacher or rabbi. What could a theologian or a carpenter do for such men as they, with all their skill and experience at sea, and then yet they were at their wits' end and expecting to die? If they couldn't salvage the situation, what did they expect Jesus to be able to do? But if anything, Jesus admonishes them for not coming to him sooner. Instead, Jesus was their last resort. Only when they were desperate and had exhausted all of their own strength and ability did they turn to Jesus for help. Is Jesus your last resort? Too often he is. Sometimes it is because you are proud at being good at what you do, or in being a self-sufficient American in control of your own destiny. And as you persist in trusting yourself, your own abilities, you slip further and further into trouble until only when your self-delusion is shattered do you realize that you were never the one in control, and that were it not for the daily care and preservation of your Creator, you would not last for a moment. At other times, your conscience may be guilty and you believe the devil's lies, as he whispers in your ear that Jesus wants nothing to do with you, with a sinner like you, that you deserve everything that is happening to you, that you just need to work harder to fix things. Thank God that in the end we are brought low enough so that we cry out to Jesus, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." It is then that we finally seek the grace and mercy of God and believe that he actually will hear our prayer, that he does desire our well-being, and that he has actually done what he said. He has forgiven your sins. He does not hold them against you any longer. They do not separate you from him because they are wiped away. Therefore, drop the pride. Drop the pretense that you are somehow trying not to bother the Master with your small troubles, and see yourself as you are, bereft of any strength, destitute, impoverished, and with no hope in your own resources. There was never a time when you did not fully require the help of your Savior. It is not only when your boat is about to sink, but also when you are riding high on the sea, with clear skies and the wind at your back, that you are absolutely dependent upon Jesus for every need of body and soul. You cannot even take your next breath were it not for his constant care and compassion for you. Therefore, drop the act. Call upon him now, even when he seems to be asleep. You may not always feel like you are drowning, but you always need his salvation. Therefore, do not be ashamed or hesitant even for a moment to cry out, "Save us, Lord, for we perish." And believe firmly that he hears. And indeed, before the thought even enters your mind to call for his help, he has already sent you an answer. The answer of Jesus comes with the words, "Peace, be still." And merely by speaking these words, he accomplishes what those words demand. That is the power of the Word of God. How can you be afraid when you have a man like that, or a Savior? What manner of man is this, indeed? How can it be that a man such as this, who can order the sea and the wind and have them obey, how could such a man as this be here with us, not only be with us, but also be willing to use such incredible power to help and preserve us? As remarkable in the power of Jesus' words may be, it is more remarkable still that God would choose to come to men in the person of his Son and dwell with them and redeem them. Indeed, we do well to ask, what manner of man is this who would suffer and die on the cross at the hands of men, when with but a word he could put an end to it all? Even though all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in his body, yet he allows his body to be abused, tormented, and killed. He does this so that we can find in the man Jesus Christ, in his flesh and blood, the forgiveness of sins which he has won for all mankind. For just as Jesus seemed to be just a man, asleep with exhaustion, lying in the bottom of a boat, yet in him was all of God's power, ready to help, so it is when, as Jesus is with us today, in his flesh and blood, seemingly nothing in the eyes of men, and yet having all divine power, and ready and willing and able, and in fact helping and preserving and defending and forgiving us day by day and moment by moment. And in spite of the fact that you be men and women of little faith, he forgives you your sins when you in that faith eat his body and drink his blood, coming to him for help because he is the only one who can calm the raging storm of God's wrath against your sin. Do not be afraid. Only remember that Jesus is with you. Call upon him in every trouble, in every need. Yes, in the midst of every fear that you experience, even though you know you should not be afraid. He who has forgiven your sins will also calm your dread and comfort you with the knowledge of his divine providence that is greater than all of your needs, and preserve your life until the day that he determines he shall bring it to an end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Take not thy holy. Almighty God, fountain of all mercies, who art ever ready to hear the prayers of thy people, and hast promised thy saving health in every time of need, we give thanks to thee for all thy gifts and graces. Most of all, we praise thee for the coming of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and for the promise in him of everlasting life. And as thou hast ordained that we must endure tribulation in this life, cause us to seek refuge from every storm of body or spirit in the word of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and in the sacrament of his body and blood, where he is ever with us. Calm our fearful hearts and increase our faith, that we might never doubt thy gracious promises, but ever be comforted by the word and presence of thy Son. And as we are mortal and must return to the dust from whence we were created, may we put our hope not in this life, but in the life which shall commence on the last day, when at the voice of Jesus, though our bodies have decayed to dust, nevertheless they shall arise to new life. Grant us a more firm faith in thy mighty power, which thou hast revealed to us in the perfect obedience, death, and resurrection of thy Son. And as by the waters of baptism thou hast rescued us from destruction and given us the new birth, cause us to arise each day in the power of thy Holy Spirit, to heed thy word, to know thy will, and to walk in thy commandments. We pray also that thou wouldst dwell in our homes and among our families. Give them the Spirit of Christ, that the children may grow in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man, that the parents may be pure in love and worthy examples, maintaining their homes in peace and godliness. Grant that both children and parents may delight to be in thine house and in the service of thy Son. Comfort and bless all our afflicted, that they may perceive thy good and gracious will, and find release from all their trials. Preserve for us good government, integrity, and honest citizenship. Put down all who intend revolution and strife, and suppress those who seek power through the weakness of men. Keep us in the unity of faith and in oneness with Christ. We ask all these things in his name and for his sake. Amen.
We sing hymn number 522.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. And now do we praise thee that thou didst send unto us thine only begotten Son, and that in him being found in fashion as a man, thou didst manifest the fullness of thy glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take us away.
partake and eat.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Up to the end.
give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 437. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.